The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
What up?
Nothing much. Just a busy ass morning, man. How about you?
Yeah, getting ready for your trip to LA.
Yeah, because it's like right now is like the last time I was gonna see my girlfriend till Sunday because she's going to work, and just making sure I got everything I need.
Ooh, a weekend away. You know how many times I've said goodbye for months to a year, huh? Huh? Shut up, you. No, I'm joking.
Oh, yeah. Be quiet. But when you leave, everybody takes a sigh of relief, Kyle.
I'll tell you what, though. Interesting story about how we were during my time in the Army versus others. We were a rip the Band-Aid off and get it done type couple. You would have, before a deployment, to Iraq, Afghanistan, whatever, people whose spouses and families would stay until they got on the bus, and then they would follow the bus or watch as the bus drove off, taking us to the airport. And then my wife and I, however, were the couple to have a quiet moment in the parking lot together right before, you know, first call or whatnot. And say our goodbyes, and that's it. No one more hug, no one more kiss again and again and again as time ticks by closer and closer to step off. Just get it done, cry it out, and start the deployment. I never understood the hanging around, man. It felt so, I don't know. It's a dreadful.
There's words I want to use for it, but I won't do it because, yeah, that's not.
Well, you know, everyone's got their own things, but yeah, Christine and I were just the ones that are like, this is gonna hurt no matter what, so let's get it over with. Kind of like we should get this intro over with. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse Podcast Network and YouTube channel, available wherever you get podcasts from now, including Amazon. So yeah, if you use Amazon Music and get podcasts through there, we are there now. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching us there. A lot of great content, including trailer reactions, anime reactions, all of the podcasts like Marvel Multiverse Mayhem and the Cantina, in addition to this and more. So a lot of really great content. If you listen to us on Apple, leave a review. That would be a big help. Hit, you know, 5 stars. Preferably, that'd be
five
great
stars.
But be honest leave a review. I'm Kyle, that's Manny, and holy crap, did we get a lot of trailers yesterday.
This week, man, this whole week we've been getting a bunch of stuff.
We got Guardians, we got Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, we got Transformers Rise of the Beasts. There was more, like you said, throughout the week, but yeah, a crap ton hit yesterday. We're going to be talking about some of that over on Breaking Geek Radio, or I say we, the guys that'll be on that. I just produced the show. But I do kind of want to talk about the Guardians trailer first, Manny. I did a reaction. Everyone can go here on our YouTube channel and check out the reaction, but I need this to make me cry. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really cry at theaters, but I want this to push me to the edge of tears, because phase four has been such a disappointment that I am dying to feel something in the MCU again. And yes, I get there were emotional moments through Black Panther. I'm not saying that I haven't felt anything at all. I'm just talking overall. I have not had anywhere near the emotional ride that I got in a Winter Soldier, or even like the first, you know,
cried in Winter Soldier?
No, not just crying. I'm saying an emotional response, whether that's pure joy, pure heartfelt, just emotion, period. I haven't even been able to have a moment in an Infinity War Thor coming to Wakanda. Like, I would kill for something. I haven't gotten crap like that in phase four, especially since I'm not a big one for Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. Those moments in No Way Home did nothing for me. It wasn't like seeing Bucky and Cap interact for the first time in Winter Soldier. It wasn't like Iron Man, you know, saying I am Iron. Like, I haven't gotten any of that. And Guardians, man, I know we're going to lose someone. I think quite possibly two or three Guardians might croak. And I've got a feeling Rocket is going to die.
You keep saying that, and I'm just like, there was nothing in the trailer for me to like be like, wait, why is he gonna die?
No, really. Pete crying in front of what looks to be like an operating table or something with some like life support tubes and stuff around Rocket, talking about one last ride. The fact that James Gunn has said this is the last one for this team, not just him, but you know, these Guardians. You might see a couple stick around later, but I need this to be emotional. And I doubt I'd actually cry, but that's just like the that's the thing, man. I need Phase 5 to be good. Like, I need Ant-Man to be good, followed by this to be good. I really don't care about the Marvels as of right now. We'll see how that shakes loose. But what'd you think of the Guardians trailer, Manny?
It was all right. Like, I'm like, it's the third one. I really didn't like the second one that much compared to the first one. Mm-hmm. I love the team. I love everything about it. But I could have cared less about his dad and that kind of storyline. It just didn't resonate with me at all. So with this one, I'm curious because we're gonna get two back to back movies potentially that are very good, but it's because of the direction that they, you know, that they've been put through. The last movie to genuinely make me cry was The Eternals with how bad it was.
nice.
I don't know. Like, I think I'm starting to get a little what's the word? Like, I don't know, jaded or just like
fatigued, man.
Yeah, they just don't hit the same anymore.
Awful.
And that could be it. Like I enjoyed Wakanda Forever, loved Neymar. And that's kind of like, it was like, all right, cool, like we did it. And I'm ready to move on, but it's like, all right, here comes this one, and here comes this one, and I'm like, but we're not doing anything. Like, yeah, you're just putting out movies for the sake of it. And so, yeah, basically. But the second one's Ant-Man's gonna have and it's like, I don't care who it has. Like, at this point, like, you've given me nothing to invest in, and you're getting dangerously close to becoming DC films where like it's just not as important. Like, yeah. But even The Rock's, like, people are like comparing Black Panther to like Black Adam. And like The Rock would come out actually and be like, this, like, you have years of investment in Black Panther. And it's like Black Adam's like brand new. Like, why would that even be a comparison? And I agree with him 100%. There's nothing in either of these trailers that that has me excited to go to like, oh, I can't wait for these movies. It's like, yeah, they're movies I'll watch when they come out. But that level of phase one, Or like, let's just go, let's just say Infinity War. Not Infinity War.
Infinity Saga.
Saga, thank you. I don't have that same excitement anymore. There's nothing there. I don't even feel like I have invested anything particular for this saga to say that I'm building up excitement through these movies. If anything, it's just been getting the carpet pulled out from under me over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then being asked, what do you think so far? While I'm dazed and confused at the bottom. that's really what it feels like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know what we're doing.
By the time I completely agree. We're
entering phase five, and then I don't know. So
it's
like,
supposed to be the multiversal saga, and as we've mentioned before, there's been multiverses, but there's been no multiversal consequences yet. We have been told multiple times that a project will change everything and have everlasting consequences. And I'm sure somewhere down the road, Kevin Feige will put in some scene or some line that's like, "Yeah, back when Loki killed Kang, it actually did do XYZ, and when Doc Strange cast his spell in Spider-Man, it actually did do XYZ."
Yeah, but,
but there were so many projects where nothing mattered.
Almost as cheap as Zack Snyder saying, Aquaman sent those whales to save Superman.
Yes, it's like, yes, exactly. Exactly. And so I feel you on that, man. And that's why I said I need Ant-Man and the Wasp to be good. I need it to be incredibly fun, incredibly funny, and have some sort of payoff from what happened in phase four and set up some stuff going forward in phase five. And then I know Secret Invasion is supposed to come out sometime around early next year, early 2023. But then Guardians, I'm looking at that one as a wrap up for the Guardians story, of course, and the Guardians of the Galaxy films. I'm never looking for a whole bunch of consequences or payoff, because they've always been cosmic. They're out on their own. They are their own story. They teamed up in Infinity War and Endgame. Good, but so that one is one of those where I'm like, I've been invested in the Guardians franchise, and I need that to pay off well. And I do, man. I need it to be emotion. I don't mean necessarily crying. Like I said, that was just a good, strong emotion as an example of I need an emotional connection to Marvel again, because I just don't have it between mediocre stuff for other characters during phase four to things that I just didn't care about whatsoever. It's where's my connection, you know? So anyways,
but I cried the second time I saw Black Panther, only because at the end it was really emotionally charged. Mm-hmm. And I turned to my left, my daughter was wailing. And that did it for me. So I'm not sure.
Kids crying can get to you.
But the thing about that is that I appreciate that so much from my daughter, because she, regardless of the movie, she allows herself to go along for the ride.
Yeah.
So if it's supposed to be scary, she's scared. If it's supposed to be sad, she allows herself to emote the emotions on screen. And sometimes I get kind of jealous of that, because kind of the point. That's kind of the point of film sometimes, is to go on these rides with these characters and these plot lines that make you feel things. But like you said, Emo Kid Kyle said over here, he's like, "What's the feel things?" But unfortunately, he's numb, in the words of Linkin Park. I just don't know if he's gonna get it from Marvel anymore. But luckily, he does have two proven winners in the MCU. But the other thing is, I don't really like I don't even know who Adam Warlock is, to be honest.
Okay.
But if there's one thing I know is that I trust James Gunn's filmmaking, because if it's something I don't know about, he's going to make sure I like it by the end.
That's how I feel. I'm very nervous to say in any name we trust these days, but I'm definitely, I keep saying cautiously optimistic to project after project. You know, Thor burned me. Thor Love and Thunder burned me.
Absolutely.
Wakanda Forever ended up being good. It's just not, for me at least, it wasn't the knockout that I had kind of hoped.
Yeah, it's because you're a colonizer.
What was that?
Nothing.
I know, because I'm a colonizer. But it was still good. It was still good. There were just elements where I'm just like, but you guys can go watch Manny and I review that here on the channel. But yeah, man, we'll see. You know who I'm really jealous of? And I can't believe I'm going to say this. Janet. I'm jealous of Janet, because he can just turn off everything and enjoy a movie wholly isolated and in and of itself. I can't do that. What happens before, or if something's a prequel or you know, takes place in a series in the middle, and knowing what comes after affects what I'm watching. You know, the Star Wars films are forever tainted because of the prequels and sequels. You know, the prequels being just awful and the sequels just ruining the legacy of Vader's fall and redemption, Luke's efforts to redeem his fought, like the sequels just shit all over that. And I can't just isolate it. And just like Marvel, like, it's hard for me to go want to watch even a phase 1 through 3 film in general, because it's like, oh God, phase 4 comes next. Like, so I need it to get better. I really
well,
do.
I'm sorry you can't do that, because I do enjoy, I try to enjoy everything individually. Oh, that's why I'm able to enjoy so many indie films, especially B and C list horror.
Oh, well, that's different. We're talking like franchises here, man.
Why you gotta hate on the franchises though? Like,
no, I'm saying that when things are connected for me, I have a hard time isolating it. Like Jammer, he's like, he's and for those that don't know, Jammer and Janet, same person. It's a mistype joke, inside joke.
Not a joke, actually, Janet.
And then, like, he loves The Last Jedi. He's like, I can ignore episode 7, and I can ignore episode 9. And I'm like, I can't ignore any of it. Like, it all is there. And then even within The Last Jedi, there's so many plot issues and editing issues and logic issues. And I'm not even talking about gravity in space. Like, I can excuse that one using, like, magnetic fields and stuff like that. But there's so many other issues in it that he can just turn his brain off, and he's like, but it looked cool or it sounded cool. And I'm like, there's more to it for me than that. And I am jealous of that. Like Nick being able to find joy in almost anything in Marvel.
Yeah, but then
maybe his goes too far.
I can't do, like, it's just, if something's, you know, bad, it's bad.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And like, You have to admit that something aren't good, and that's okay. But it's just, I don't know.
It's okay for things to be okay and not great or bad. Speaking of things that might not be great or bad, might be just okay. Transformers: Rise of the Beasts. Manny, were you a Beast Wars fan?
Hell yeah, loved Beast Wars. That was the best Megatron ever, because he was a T-Rex.
I'm hearing a fan here, so I'm interested in what you thought of the Rise of the Beasts trailer.
Confused and terrified of the fact that I'm being tricked into another Optimus Prime film, because Optimus Prime and Bumblebee are in it, and most of the trailer was Optimus Prime and Bumblebee, and I am very I remember what they did with the other Transformers that we were supposed to have in what was it called, Age of Extinction, or I don't know what it's called,
with the Dinobots,
where they showed them to us for the same amount of time on the trailer that they did in the movie. And of course, I know we're gonna get more of them, more of these Autobots in this film, but with the amount of Optimus I've already seen, like the regular Optimus Prime that I've seen here, I am concerned that I'm not getting the movie that I thought I was getting, especially because when it takes place, it would make absolutely no sense in canon to the rest of everything, because like what is Prime doing on Earth and
stuff like that
at this time, and don't give me this bullshit that don't give me this crap that they've been watching
shit. I don't mind that.
Oh, that they've been watching this whole time. And then now it's time for them to act because something,
I think time travel is going to play a fact, because that plays a factor in Beast Wars and mythology for the Transformers. I could even see them using an element of that War for Cybertron trilogy that was on Netflix, which was great. If you guys haven't seen that, if you like Transformers, go check out the War for Cybertron trilogy. It was really well done. It's for grown-ups, and I don't mean mature as in like content. I mean like it's more cerebral, it's deeper, it's darker, it's Transformers for grown-ups, but I suggest it. So I think that's what's gonna kind of play into what you're getting at with how is he there, because you know when he first arrives in the first one, which is set in the mid-2000s, you're like, He's there for the first time. And then you've got these movies, which are, you know, the Bumblebee was set in like what, the '80s, and this is supposed to be in the '90s. Come on, guys. Fox made that mistake with the refresh of X-Men. Don't make the next.
So anyways, so like I'm cautiously excited, because like these are my favorite Transformers.
Yes.
Because to be honest, when I was young, it was my first exposure to them, because I didn't really watch Transformers before then. And I tried to go back and watch that series. Jesus Christ, that is so bad. As far
the
as
CGI,
yeah, I was like, I should have never watched it again and just remembered it from memories. But my point being is, I feel like it's gone. I mean, like besides Bumblebee, and I'll say the first two Transformers, maybe. I'll give the second one a kind of a passing grade, but I kind of like Shia LaBeouf too.
I'm opposite. I like the first one and the third one. The second one's watchable, but it's not.
Well, yeah, okay. So yeah, the second one is like okay, like, but and then once they just throw, and here's what's interesting is I don't know what's gonna happen. But we may not have China as a theatrical release, and
that's what made those movies the money, man.
Yeah,
especially Age and Last Night.
Yeah, and that's why we keep getting dumb films like Venom, and honestly, Transformers. Like I understand why, because Transformers need to sell toys, and they're a cool concept. Yeah, like the Autobots and the whatever they're. I keep wanting to say Dinobots.
The F bomb's not allowed though, Manny. I'm not gonna remember to edit it.
My bad. I didn't even realize I cussed. I just given the trailer, it hasn't given me any confidence that you're not doing anything but rather what you did in Age of Extinction and really bait and switch, because it seems like they're going to be focusing on the wrong Prime. Mm. And that's not what we signed up for.
Yeah, you wanted a Beast War. And the thing that I don't get, and it kind of goes into the whole, like I mentioned, Fox and the 10-year, the decade release movie things. Why not just set it in the distant future as... Beast Wars was, if I remember correctly, just do a Beast Wars movie. Like we didn't even need all the humans. Like we really don't. I was a bit too old to get into Beast Wars the way Manny did, but I saw it and I enjoyed it relative to what it was for the time. But I know how much love there is for that. I know how many people that is, like you said, your Transformers. I was a G1 guy. Like, that was my Transformers. Seeing Optimus die in Transformers, the movie and stuff like that. Rodimus Prime, the Rise of, like, that's mine. So I know there's a lot of love for it, and just to shove a whole bunch of, you know, Michael Bay style stuff into it, I kind of wish it had just been animals.
I just really feel like executives at Paramount were like, all right, cool, so Bumblebee's in it, right? And they're like,
you got to put him in there.
This is Beast Wars. Like, no, like, you have to put him in there. And it's like, okay, all right. And he's like, an Optimus Prime, right? Yeah. We have a Prime. It's like, no, not that one. The truck.
We got Optimus Primal. He beats his chest like King Kong.
Yeah. No.
We need the truck.
The actual. It's like, well, did you want a Beast Wars movie? Yes. It's just. Transformers has burned us enough to where it's fine to just be like, well, I guess we could take a look.
We'll see how it goes. I guess, you know, I don't care about Indy. Like, I don't hate Indy. It's not that I dislike it. I nothing it. It's fine. I can watch it if someone else has it on, but it's nothing. Like, I never go and put on an indie movie for myself. Are you an indie fan?
Nope.
Okay, so we don't need to talk about the dial of Destiny.
And even in that trailer, it was because you don't want to talk about it, I will. the eyebrow raising part was how many times they dug into the well of look at the old movies.
Yeah,
and I get it. We haven't had an indie film in a very long time. I don't even know if they want to acknowledge the last one.
I think they did in the beginning. He has that image of a UFO on the overhead projector.
Maybe. Okay, I'm sorry that they decided to do that, but I'm like, are they going to be CGing people's faces and doing stuff
besides
like that?
Because
it seems like that's where they're going, and I'm like, then why are we even doing this? Like, I get it. I understand the nostalgia, but you should have picked like some hot young actor, not named Shia LaBeouf, that can actually carry the weight of a Indiana Jones. I don't know. Well, like even like, honestly, I'd even take like, and I, this is kind of a shot at the wall. Like, it's nothing. Like, I'm really endorsing, but I'm just like throwing names out there. Like, Let Ryan Gosling give it a shot. He kind of has that charisma that I think it could work. Liam Hemsworth, I think maybe could do a good job.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there. I'm not gonna say Idris Elba because we cast him for everything, and I think he'd be terrible at Indiana Jones. I'm saying that because we always cast him as something, and now I'm saying he wouldn't be good at something.
There you go.
So there you guys go. It's like, and the worst part is I feel like no matter how, potentially, it could be great and fine, but if it's bad, I feel like we haven't had a indie film in so long that fans are gonna say they love it just so that they don't like not make more.
Hey, you got people saying that they love things that not even 10 years ago were despised and box office bombs. So, and they swear to God, they've always loved it, and they're not doing it to be, you know, in with the out crowd.
Oh, and then also
I'm calling you liars.
I'm going to go ahead and say this out loud and be mad or whatever, but Indiana Jones is a guy. Don't whatever you do, Disney, don't
man, I'm telling I'm
don't
I'm
don't.
Telling you, there's time travel in this. I don't know that for certain, but there's been enough leaks, images. You think of Dial of Destiny. You think of things such as a sundial, a clock dial, like
just I'm, like. And just if it's a dial, just put a Nazi in front of me, turn the dial and watch him melt because his own body went forward in time or whatever because of the dial. Yeah.
I could see them erasing, you know, Mutt and maybe giving, you know, there's been rumors Phoebe Waller-Bridge would be the new legacy character going forward for future Indiana Jones projects, but you know, what name would she have? What would you call the movies? And I don't know, man.
Don't. That's what I'm saying. Don't. And I feel just and despite the fact that I do not care as much as for Indiana Jones as I do for other properties, mm-hmm. I feel just as strongly as this as I do for James Bond. Because movies, I understand they're 007, but the character is James Bond. Yeah. This is very specific. This is not a what was the character that they changed the and it was just like yeah sure whatever.
It's happened in a few. I always bring up Battlestar Galactica. I know you might not know that one very well, but they in the reimagining from the mid 2000s they changed Starbuck and Boomer to females, and Boomer went from being a black male to an Asian female. Starbuck went from being a white male to a white female, and I absolutely had no issue with it because it was so well executed. The character that they created for it worked really, really well. Katie Sackhoff did great as her version of Starbuck. So there are times where it
okay,
it
works yeah, fine, yeah, but it yeah. Sometimes it does work really well, but
not often.
You're changing. You're changing something that you're literally changing the entire character, which is besides what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's so. No bueno. That's no bueno. We'll see how it shakes out. I know Nick Dahl, Cam Clark, James Burns, a few people here at LRM and the Genreverse are all big fans of Indy. My wife, who's a fan of the original three films, and she does watch them from time to time just because she does, like I said, legitimately like them. She watched the trailer and she was just kind of like, eh. So we'll see. But also, I think she's a lot like you where she's got a lot of concerns about what they might not do. Anyways, mm-hmm. time travel is a dangerous thing with some franchises. I'm looking at you, Star Wars, and the world between worlds in Ahsoka. Swear to God, you guys better not abuse that.
Oh dude, God, you know they are. The
frack out of me. Well, because you got Hayden Christensen being in the Ahsoka show. You got them having signed off on James Earl Jones signing off on, you know, continuing to use his voice with digital assistants, AI and mm-hmm. whatnot. I'm scared to death of what they'll do with time travel. I'm scared to death we're not gonna leave the Skywalker era. We're not gonna leave the time set between the end of the prequels and the start of the sequels. I'm nervous, man. I really am. However, we do have a word that the Mandalorian season 3 will hit on March 1st. It's a bit later than what some had said. We were hearing February a while ago, and I mean it's not too much later. March 1st. After Andor, I'm nervous about the Mandalorian because a lot of it is kind of similar to the Obi-Wan Kenobi and Book of Boba Fett feel and style, but way better in general. But I got grown-ups Star Wars with Andor, and I really liked it.
I'm not nervous because I've been talking I've been honest about the Mandalorian since season one. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about it. Like there's a lot of stuff I like about it, but I've been very open about the things that I dislike about it. And the Book of Boba Fett should have never happened.
No.
And if you wanted to do that, you should have just done two or three episodes of like The Mandalorian 2.5 or something. Because it ended up turning into The Mandalorian
2.5 anyways.
It's all like, it's like let's do a Boba Fett series. Cool. What are we doing? Well, in this episode, Luke Skywalker was like, wait, I thought you said it was a Boba Fett series. He's like, yeah, hold on. And it's like, okay, all right, fine. Next episode, what are we doing? Well, in this episode, the Mandalorian finds his ship. It's like, wait, what?
But Manny, they had Vespas. They had speeder Vespas doing the slowest freaking chase ever.
Yeah,
And then the guy did the spinning move.
Did you see the spinning move? Yeah,
how could you not love Book of Boba Fett?
Move. Yeah.
Vespas and spinny move.
Yeah, and Danny Trejo's going to show up for a few seconds. What? And then we're going to
not
tease,
ride the Rancor, and not we're
gonna,
punch someone. Yeah,
like, we're going to tease also one of Clone Wars' favorite villains, but really he's not going to do anything. Okay. Yeah, no, that you know, but fans were like all over it and were like, it's like, this is prime Star Wars content. It's like, nah, like Andor
and
was
people excusing Obi-Wan Kenobi's god awful writing execution.
Yeah, that was not very, yeah, that's not, I didn't
and,
think
and some of the worst canon destroying decisions ever ever made. Oh my god.
I think the Star thing Wars, also like, is like you make a film like The Last Jedi, sets the bar down this way. And then you make a film like Rise of Skywalker, and you set the bar even lower. So then it's like you can do stuff like that now, and it's like, well, like, you know, it's not that bad compared to. It's like, yeah, I guess not. Sad day.
I hate it.
Yeah, but we're gonna get baby. I was gonna say baby Groot. we'll get Grogu. We'll get more baby Yoda. Grogu. So it doesn't matter. You're gonna be jaded. People are gonna be jaded by that and very much distracted by the fact that he's gonna wear his little armor and you're gonna get hours and hours of Mando and Grogu just walking in these vast scenes, and you're gonna get them traveling in the spaceship for hours, and then 10 minutes of dialogue, and then 1 minute of action every episode.
It hasn't been that rough. There's been a lot of really good things, and as far as like the talking, the best episode ever of The Mandalorian is the freaking season 2 Mayfield episode, and that's all with Bill Burr where he's like, dude, you're gonna have to take off your mask and we're gonna have to do this, you know, this is the way for your mission. And that was one of the best things I've seen in Star Wars. I mean, that's up there with the hallway scene between Luke and Vader in Return of the Jedi. It's up there with the interactions between Luke and Vader in Empire Strikes Back. Like, that right there is one of the best things to ever come out of Star Wars. And I'm hoping that we get some more of that, but like I said, I'm nervous because I saw the reaction to Andor, and I'm scared even season 2 of Andor is going to be filled with, hey, you remember this Rebels character? Well, here they are. Yeah, I'm not happy about that. Anyways, you got stuff to do. I've got stuff to do. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up right there for you guys today. Thank you so much for joining us this week. There's lots more content here on the YouTube channel. I mentioned trailer reactions from our genre shot. AVR Squared does anime reactions, AVR anime reviews, Daily Cog, Breaking Geek, everything in geek and entertainment, pop culture, news and reviews, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem in the Cantina doing Marvel and Star Wars news, rumors and reviews respectively. A lot of great stuff. If it's not a reaction video, if it's, you know, podcast stuff, it goes up on our podcast network, our podcast channel, wherever you get those from, including Amazon now. So Amazon, Apple, Google, Stitcher, and more, Spotify on the screen for you guys right now. And of course, all of that, all of our written articles, written reviews, celebrity interviews, and more go up on LRMonline.com. And the interviews usually go up on the LRM Online YouTube channel. So check all of that stuff out. Manny, you're going to LA Comic Con. Tell people how they can see what you're seeing.
You can follow me on at riddlemethis_510 on Instagram or at Manny Gomez Media. I'm also going to be posting stuff to the official LRM Twitter. And also you can just find me on the convention floor most of the days. So by and say hi and tell Jace hi. And we can talk about how bad Kyle is on the show and how maybe somebody can interview to replace him.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. You got to do all of the editing.
No, and, you still got to produce it. You still got to produce it. We just need a new one.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.